Self-publishing doesn't really exist. You can't just sit in the cabin in the woods all by yourself and emerge with a published book in hand. And you certainly can't come out of that cabin with 5,000 physical copies of that book with a beautiful cover, well edited. It is very rare to find somebody with all of the skills required to turn an idea into a physical book. And it's impossible to find somebody who has the ability to give themselves their own second opinion. We all need editors, somebody who doesn't know what we intended to say, who can look at what we actually said and ask us, is that what you meant to say? But many of us also need cover designers, formatters, web designers, assistants, and more. You probably don't need all of this help, right? Some of these things you can do yourself, right? If you go through my course, my free course on how to build a website, you may not need a webmaster, for instance. And if you're an editor yourself, you may not need as much editing, but even editors know they need to hire another editor to edit their work. So the real question is, where do you find these professionals, right? Having a cover and having a good cover can be the difference between dozens of sales and thousands of sales. And ideally, you already know a professional cover designer and you already know a professional editor. But what do you do if you don't? Well, one option is the job board on authormedia.social, and there are dozens of editors there who can help you out, and maybe half a dozen cover designers right now. We're hoping to attract more, but there is a community in this world that has not dozens, but thousands, not just of editors and cover designers, but so much more. That's right. In this episode, we are going to be talking about Readzy.com. What is Readzy? Find out in this episode of Novel Marketing, the longest running book marketing podcast in the world. I'm Thomas Umstead Jr., CEO of Author Media, and this is the show for writers who want to build their platform, sell more books, and make a living writing books worth talking about. And we have a really special guest on the show today who knows a lot about Readzy because he co-founded Readzy, Ricardo Fayette. Welcome to the Novel Marketing Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So what is Readzy for somebody who just heard the name about 20 seconds ago?
Well, I think you described it pretty perfectly. It is a network of publishing professionals where authors can basically come and search for any freelance professional they might ever need through their writing career. So if you're looking for a developmental editor for Christian romance, you can search for exactly that, and you're going to get a list of profiles. You're going to be able to look at their work experience, at all the books that they've worked on, and you're going to be able to contact up to 5 of them to get their availability first, and then their quotes, and finally hire someone if you want to hire some of these prospects.
And here's why I like Readzy as opposed to, say, a hybrid publisher. So what many authors do, they Google how to self-publish, and there's these hybrid publishers that always bid the highest for clicks. And the reason they bid the highest for clicks is because they are making the most money off of authors. And you go, so this is companies like Author Solutions, Westbow, that sort of thing. So you click on Westbow's website and they'll say, we will give you an editor. We will give you a cover designer. And the problem with that is that you don't know who that editor is and you don't know who that cover designer is and if they're any good. They might be good, but probably they're really cheap, because the cheaper or the less that Westbow can spend on the editor, the more money they make, and they charge you a lot. And the difference is that with a service like Readzy, you're not getting an editor, right? Ricardo, you're not picking what editor. If I signed up with it, you're not picking my editor for me. What you're doing is saying, hey, we've got 2,000 editors. You can search the directory of editors to see which ones are a good fit for you. And then you can reach out to those editors and talk to them and see how much they cost and how, you know, when they're free. And then you get to choose if this editor is a good fit for you or not.
Exactly.
And that puts the power in the hands of the author. And because you have 2,000 editors, they're all bidding against each other in terms of pricing. So it's actually cheaper to get a better editor through a platform like Readzy than it is to go through a hybrid publisher, because that hybrid publisher will take whatever money the editor is getting and triple it or quadruple it. And that's what they charge you, and they pocket the difference. And by avoiding that hybrid publisher, you're spending less money for an editor that you picked, which I really, really like.
Yeah, that was exactly our model when we started. There wasn't any other company out there doing this kind of thing. And all the options were, as you said, hybrid or vanity publishers, who, or some agencies who charge huge markups, and you didn't know which editor or designer, marketer you're going to be paired with. On the bidding side of things, we try to limit it a little bit. So I mentioned you can only contact up to 5 professionals at a time for a given job on the marketplace. And that's to maintain some sort of equilibrium on the marketplace. Because if you just posted a job on there and everyone was able to bid, yeah, that would create this sort of bidding war or frenzy that would drive prices down a lot. But that wouldn't be healthy for the professional side of things. And what makes us different from other marketplaces out there is we try to work with the very best publishing talent out there. And we accept less than 5% of the professionals who apply to be listed on our marketplace. So we get a lot of applications because usually people listed on Readzy tend to get a healthy amount of work. And we're very, very selective in terms of who we let through and who we accept to provide services on the marketplace. And in order to keep those good professionals, those expert professionals who usually have like decades of experience and get clients of their own outside of Readzy, we need to make sure that they can keep their prices, that their fair prices basically work with the platform. So you cannot come to Readzy expecting to get a cover design for $100, for example, because that's not going to happen. But you will be able to get different quotes from different cover designers and pick the one who sounds best to you.
So in every market, there's 3 market positions a company can take. One is we're the cheapest possible option. And in the marketplace space, that's probably Fiverr.com, right? If you want the cheapest possible book cover, there's somebody who will give you a book cover for $5. Is it any good? No. And to be fair to Fiverr, there are higher quality people who will give you that $100 book cover. Yeah. And if you want a $100 book cover, Fiverr's an option, and you can get good book covers there. There's also places that have templates that you can pick from, and then maybe somebody who will customize that template. And then in the middle of the market is probably where I'd put Upwork. So anybody can create an Upwork account. And so you're still getting that bid, right? You can post a project. Hey, I've got a book that I'm writing. I'm looking for an editor. And you'll have potentially hundreds of people offering to edit it. And you can sort through, you know, based off of price and based off of all of those other things. And Upwork's also a good platform, but it's a little bit overwhelming because Upwork, you could staff a whole marketing agency, a whole development firm, because they don't just work with authors. They really target kind of American companies, and they're primarily a way of sourcing international talent. So if I want to work with somebody from Bangladesh, I don't know anyone from Bangladesh, but I know the currency exchange rate's really strong. Upwork will help kind of act as that middleman. So if I'm understanding correctly, Readzy is positioning itself in that kind of quality side of the market where, you know, this is a curated list of editors, curated list of designers, where it's fewer people, but they're better because you have some sort of filtering mechanism. Do I understand that correctly?
Absolutely, yeah. That's our main differentiator. And it comes with a sort of guarantee. Like, since we vet the freelancers who are on our marketplace, we're 99% sure that whomever you hire, they're going to do a good job and you're going to be happy with it. So our guarantee is that if you aren't, we have a project protection in place through which we will mediate, and we will decide, we'll usually involve third parties to assess the deliverables and decide whether there's any reason for a refund, whether partial or full or not. So yeah, we're on the higher end of the market in terms of prices, but you come in with the safety and the additional insurance that we provide with the protection.
And I should say, while you're on the higher end of the market, it's still cheaper than going with a hybrid publisher.
Absolutely. So
a hybrid publisher is the worst of both worlds because you're paying a premium price, but you're not getting a premium product. And so if you want to pay a premium price, if you're thinking about going with the Westpo and spending $10,000 with Westpo, you could hire, I'm guessing, an editor, a designer, a publicist, a marketer, a ghostwriter, and a web designer, probably for less than $10,000 through Readsy and get a much higher quality of all of those things. And you probably don't need all those things. You're like, well, I don't need a ghostwriter. You know, I don't need a publicist necessarily. Right? You can pick and choose and you can make your choice. So walk us through what that filtering looks like. Let's say I'm an editor and I'm really good and I want to start getting clients through Readsy. I want to be in the Readsy marketplace. How do you find out if I'm any good?
So you would sign up as a professional and we would invite you to fill in your profile. And this profile is mostly what we base our decision on. It's a little bit like a LinkedIn profile, but optimized for the book industry. So you would list a little bit of text about yourself, and then you would add your work experience. If you've worked with any traditional publishers, that's something we put a lot of emphasis on. And then you list all the books that you've worked on, or a good portion of the list of the books that you've worked on. You can indicate exactly which services you provided on each book. And then we will assess whether the profile meets our criteria or not. Our base criteria are a minimum of 5 years of experience, having worked on at least 5 to 10 books. But these are the base criteria. So that's usually not going to be enough to land you on the marketplace. If you have traditional publishing experience, that gives a strong signal. If you don't, but you have worked with high-selling indie authors, that's a strong signal. If the books that you worked on have gone on to do well, they're highly reviewed, that's also a good signal. So we look at all of that. We run a few background checks through a third party to make sure that that person is who they say they are.
Okay, so the focus is on industry experience. So you're looking for people who have primarily experience in the industry. They've been doing this for a long time, preferably in traditional publishing. And then, I guess, secondly, success, right? People who are already successful. So Readsy is not the platform. If I just graduated college and I have no experience, but I have great ambitions, I'm not ready for Readsy. I have to kind of earn a Readsy slot. And it sounds like you're not doing like practical testing. So this isn't like ChristianEditor.com, which has like tests where like you get a test for the Chicago Manual of Style and then you get a badge based off of how good of a job you did in the test. It's not that kind of testing. It's more of like these are people with a track record of success in the past and who've been doing this for a long time.
You're correct. There's no test right now. And Readsy is really only for highly experienced professionals right now.
Okay. What advice would you have for somebody who's like, okay, I know I need a cover designer and I know I need an editor, but I did a search for the editors and cover designers in my genre and there's 24. How do I pick? And what advice do you have for somebody who's never worked with a professional before? How do they get the best work out of that professional?
That's a good question. I think it's easier on the design side of things because you can see the results. You can see the covers. We usually find that authors are quicker to decide which designers to contact because they can just flick through the images, flick through the portfolios and say, ooh, I really like this style. I think this would work great for my cover. And so they quickly find which people to contact. On the editorial side of things, it's more complicated because you cannot evaluate the deliverables that they've done for other people, and you certainly cannot flick through them. So in that case, what we recommend authors do is once you have those 24 profiles, just take the time to go through them. First, read the profiles a little bit quickly and try to get a sense of what their expertise is, what their preferred genres are. By going quickly through the portfolio, you can actually get a sense of which genres they've edited the most before. So some editors, if you're looking for, you know, Christian fiction editor, you might get 50 results, but it's possible that 30 of them will have only edited 2 or 3 Christian books, while The rest will have really specialized, worked for 10 years at a traditional Christian publisher, and have gotten that long experience under their belt. So try to look for those editors who really specialize in your genre, because they will know the market best. They will know what tropes work in your genre, what tropes are needed, and ultimately they'll be able to do the better job. And then try to get a sense of what their editorial style is. So this might not be evident through the profiles. It might be once you contact them. But what you really want to know is how they convey their feedback. Some editors are a lot more tough love, while others sugarcoat the feedback. And some authors are going to prefer one thing or the other. So try to first know what kind of feedback you need and you can stomach. And then look for an editor with whom you feel you're going to have a little bit of chemistry almost, because you're going to be working on something that is very personal to you, your manuscript. They're going to make some criticism, hopefully, on your manuscript. So you need to be able to take it well, and you need to be able to get on well with that person on a personal level. And obviously, price is going to be a factor in that decision as well. But most editors of a similar level of experience will charge similar prices.
One of the things that I recommend is to hire, once you get down to your two or three, to hire those three editors to edit one chapter of your book. And they all need to edit the same chapter. And I recommend that you pay them. So most editors have I'll edit a page or two for you for free offering. Do you offer something like that so that you can get a sample edit?
It depends on the editor. They may do it or they may not.
Okay. So most editors offer that, but that's not what I recommend. So the novel marketing method is you do your research and pick three, because this is expensive if you do it for 10 and it's overwhelming. And then you pay them to edit a whole chapter. So they are getting compensated and they're giving you real paid work. And then you can make an apples to apples comparison between how good of a job they did. And you can see who caught which issues and who made feedback that you felt was the most helpful for making your book better. And the other thing that's really important here is that I recommend as an author, you read a book, at least one book on editing, training you to become an editor so that you have some knowledge of how to make this decision. Because sometimes somebody's such a beginner, they've never read any books on craft, and they get these edits back and they're like, I don't know how to tell who's better. And that's an indication that you're not ready to hire an editor yet. You need to read some more books on craft and get a better sense for your voice. Because if you don't know what your voice is, if you don't have a clear writing voice, you won't know how to protect it when interacting with an editor. And you won't necessarily know how to put it clearly into the book. But once you know what your voice is, you get those edits back and you're like, oh, these edits are changing my voice. And these edits are clarifying my voice, right? You want to hire the editor who's clarifying your voice. And some people are like, oh, Thomas, what editors do you recommend, right? I want a Thomas recommended editor. And occasionally I'll send somebody some names depending on their genre. But I do that very rarely, because just because somebody is a good editor for somebody else's book doesn't mean that they're a good editor for you, right? Just because somebody's a good quarterback doesn't make them a good defensive tackle. Or to use a European example, just because somebody's a good goalkeeper doesn't mean that they're a good forward. In fact, it probably means that they're a terrible forward, right? Because the skills you have to hone to be a good goalkeeper and the skills that you have to hone to be a forward are very different skills. Sure, there's some skills that are the same. But if you're staffing your team, you don't want to take someone who was playing forward and put them in guarding your goal. I'm assuming this is good use. My football knowledge is pretty focused to American football and not European football.
That was a perfect metaphor. Yeah, that worked.
I didn't mention this. Ricardo's from Spain, so he's probably not very familiar with American football. But when you're building your team, the key is, going back to that sports metaphor, tryouts. And this is not just true for you as an author. If you're running a small business, if you're running a laundromat, tryouts. I don't know how it is in Europe, but in America, we put way too much emphasis on the interview. And the interview tells you if somebody's personable, if you like them as a person, if they're friendly. And it doesn't really tell you if they're actually any good at their job or not. What tells you if they're good at their job is hiring them for a fixed amount of time to do their job, and you have a tryout. just like you would in sports, right? You don't interview a goalkeeper to hear about his mom and how encouraging she was when he was playing soccer as a child. No, you have him stand in front of a goal and you have your very best players kick balls at him and you see who blocks the most balls. Then you put that person on your team. And this, I realize, is a little bit more cost and it's a little bit more work. But a tool like Readsy makes it really easy to find those three. And I assume to hire them for that one chapter kind of contingency basis, right? It's like, I'd like to hire you for, And if you're willing to do this little bit extra work and this little bit extra cost, you'll faster find that editor that you're going to then use for the next book, right? Because you're building your team. And once you win a game with that team, you don't start over from scratch getting a new team. No, you take your best players from the last game or from the last season and you bring them into the next season and you take your weak players and you're like, the cover design wasn't so good. I'm going to have somebody else do the cover for the next book. And over time, you build a really professional team that you're really comfortable with.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. The idea when you're looking for any person to do a job for you that's publishing related is to incorporate them in the long term to your team. Unless it's for something very, very specific, you're never going to need again. But if it's for something like editing or cover design that is so crucial, it makes a huge difference in terms of comfort, but also in terms of the quality of the book. If you can work with the same person over and over again, they will be able to get your voice, you'll be able to develop a working relationship. And you, most authors I know who publish several books a year, they've got their editors lined up and they contract them, or like they hire them even before they've written the book. They tell them, I'm going to deliver the book by this date and you need to give it back to me, edit it by this date. And the same thing for the cover designers. Especially if you write in a series, you definitely want the same cover designer to do all the books in the series to make sure that the series is properly branded and that any reader who comes across any of these books in the series can say, ah, this belongs to that series, right? And you can only achieve that if it's the same designer doing all of those books. So finding the right person is crucial because it takes time, as you mentioned. It can take a bit of extra money, but then it's definitely worth it in the long run. The only caveat I would add is, for developmental editing or editorial assessment, a lot of editors are not going to offer to do a sample on one chapter, even paid, just because developmental editing or like an editorial assessment usually done on the whole manuscript. Like, it's really hard to understand the character arc of your main character if you're just reading chapter one. You can point stuff that doesn't work that well in chapter one, but you cannot comment on the whole arc, on the whole plot of the whole book. So what some do, and you can ask them for that, and I would definitely encourage you to ask the editors you reach out to for that on top of any sample they might be willing to do, is they can share developmental edits or assessments of books that they've done in the past with the agreement of those clients. And so if they've worked on a book in a similar genre in the past, they can share their assessment with you. And you can, again, compare apples to apples and see how their editorial style is and whether it corresponds to what you're looking for.
Another approach you could potentially use is, and in fact, this would work even earlier in your career. So let's say you're developing your reader magnet that you're going to use to build your email list in advance of your first book coming out. The wonderful thing about a short story is that it's a great trial run. And so somebody who may not want to edit your first chapter may be willing to edit a short story that's maybe a chapter's length or two chapters length, because that does allow them to show their developmental editing kind of skills, because the short story has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end, and it also allows you to test those things better. In fact, I would say this is maybe even better than a sample chapter. The downside is you're hiring multiple editors for the short story, so the cost may be a little bit higher, but it will let you see how they edit the opening, how they edit the middle, how they edit the end. And if it's your very first one, getting that additional feedback from those additional editors may actually be really helpful for you as a writer, because different editors will point out different things, and each one will be helpful in its own way. Hopefully one will be the most helpful. You know, somebody's going to win the competition, so to speak. But that doesn't mean that the losers didn't offer you any value. And part of the reason why I think that it's worth paying for is that you are benefiting from their developmental feedback. And this will help you get better faster and in a really safe context, because that short story isn't just going to live on your website. It's not going to be published on Amazon. It won't be permanent. You can change it down the road. And you could take an entire reader magnet through the Readsy process as like a trial run to help you become a more experienced independent author. That way, when you are doing this for a real book for real on Amazon, it's not your first time.
Absolutely. And even if you don't hire several people for the short story for the magnet, it gives you a first trial, right? If you don't like the editor or if you don't like the designer, you can hire someone else for that first book. So you can basically burn a bullet, not for free, but at least it gives you the chance to burn a bullet before something that really matters, which is your first book in the series.
My dad has a saying. He says, success is a poor teacher. And the inverse of that is that you can learn a lot from failure.
Absolutely.
But failure can be very expensive, particularly when that failure is with a full-length book. And publishing a short story first, going through the whole process, spending the money, working with the professionals, makes failure, if it happens, and obviously we hope that failure doesn't happen, but there are benefits of failing and failing early and failing cheaply, right? Because your edit on that short story is going to be a lot less expensive. So say you've got a 10,000 word short story and a 100,000 word book. Right. The edits on that 10,000 word short story are going to be cheaper. It may not be 10% the price because there's certain fixed costs, but they're definitely going to be cheaper. And it makes failure, if it happens, right? You realize, oh, wow, this story is fundamentally broken. Better to find that out at 10,000 words than to find that out at 100,000 words. Now, I have to ask, how does Readsy make money? Because everyone's curious on these platforms, right? Who pays for it? Are you going to be in business next year? Walk us through your kind of financial setup.
No, that's a good question. Our business model hasn't changed since we started, which was now 10 years ago. So it works. It definitely sustains us, and we're going to be in business next year. And it's very simple. We charge a fee on both the author side and the freelancer side, and both fees are 10%. So if you hire an editor for $1,000, we're going to charge you, the author, $1,100, and the editor is going to be paid $900.
Okay, and that works. Y'all are a profitable company. You're not still running on your VC investments from the early days?
No, that VC investment, yeah, we haven't needed it in a long time. So we've been a self-sustained company for a good 5 years now.
This is an interesting approach, and I kind of like it. And what I like about it is that both the editors or the freelancers and the authors are your customer. Because sometimes these platforms will only take money from the freelancers, and it's free or seemingly free to use the platform as an author. And when that's the case, the platform has a interest more in keeping the freelancers happy than keeping the authors happy. Or other platforms, I feel like, just charge the author. And this balanced approach, I think, is really important because from what it sounds like especially with your, like, if there's a dispute, you bring in a third party, your goal is really a healthy ecosystem and long-term relationships, right? You're not treating freelancers as this disposable commodity, which is kind of the Fiverr approach, right? It's like, oh, I get somebody on Fiverr for this project to get somebody else on Fiverr for the next project. They come and go, and who knows if they're even a real person, right? You see five accounts, and four of those may be the same person secretly, right? With different photos and avatars and whatnot. And that's not your approach. You're really treating the professionals like professionals, which you have to do if you want top tier folks, right? Because if I'm a top tier editor, I don't really need you. Right. I could just with word of mouth, with my own authors recommending me and working with my own happy clients, not pay the 10%. And so for you to attract a top tier editor, you've got to treat them like a professional and treat them well and say, hey, I know you're getting your own clients on the side, but we'll bring you some additional clients. We'll help for those lulls, right? Because sometimes you're really busy and sometimes you're not busy. So having a platform like Readsy to fill in the gaps can be really helpful for sustainable income. But also collecting money from the author means that you're going to treat that author well. So this is a Thomas-approved business model, and I'm glad that you're profitable with it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we try to be as fair as possible.
And you're providing a valuable service. So walk us through the communication. Some platforms like Upwork and Fiverr have a communication portal where all of the communication between the freelancer and the author are handled inside of the platform. Do you offer that sort of thing, or do they just get each other's email addresses and they communicate however they communicate?
We have a portal for communication, and we've got a portal where they can share files as well. Any files that they share in the communication go automatically in the file section, so it's a little bit more organized. So there's a bit of productivity management in there. And the reason why we have that is if there's a dispute at any point in the process, we need to be able to investigate all the communication, all the files, all the deliverables, etc. If some communication happened off-platform, like if they exchanged their emails and started talking off-platform, we're missing key elements of the information, and then we need to trust both parties to send us everything, and it's an additional hassle. So the basic rule is we do not allow any exchange of contact information before you hire someone. Once you've hired someone, you can exchange anything you want. However, if you communicate off-platform, off-Ritzy, then you forfeit your right to your project protection. So if there's any dispute that arises, you're on your own, you deal with it with your client or your freelancer, but we're not going to be able to mediate because we don't have access to the communication.
Okay, that makes sense. And that's the big appeal of why a lot of these platforms put the communication right there, because it allows them to figure out who's being unreasonable or who's not doing their work. And if you don't have full access to the information, it can make that difficult. So we've been focusing quite a bit on editors and designers, but I do want to talk about publicists, marketers, and web designers, because those are other types of freelancers that you work with. So how is it different working with a publicist or a web designer than working with an editor?
I think it's a longer term collaboration. With an editor, you may have to hire them early on. Like the best developmental editors on the platform, they booked out 3 to 6 months in advance. Other professions, not necessarily. I mean, publicists, it's better to reach out to them early on as well. But with an editor, you're going to be working over a month, probably. With a publicist, it's probably going to be longer. And with a website designer, it might be longer as well. So for longer contracts, usually it's going to be, they're going to invoice you per hour or per month, still through the Ritzy platform. And you need to agree very clearly on what they're going to do for you. It's not so different at the end of the day. It's just that it's going to be a little bit more recurring in terms of work. An aside on publicity, we added publicity first and marketing after. And unless you have a very, very strong feeling as to why you need a publicist and not a marketer, 99% of the time I recommend looking for marketers rather than publicists. Because a publicist is going to pitch your story to media, potentially blogs, potentially influencers, but usually their contacts are in the media. And it is very, very difficult for a self-published book to get access to those outlets. So unless you have a very, very timely book with a very, very strong story that you know is going to be of great appeal to traditional media, if you're looking for avenues to drive sales to your book or like put together a launch strategy, I would definitely look for marketing help rather than publicity.
Yeah, publicity is a to him who has more will be given type technique. And publicity is also something that after you're experiencing some success and you have some credibility, those traditional media outlets are more likely to look at you. Now, if I'm looking at influencer marketing or blogging, you know, guest blogging or guesting on podcasts, is that more the marketer side in Ritzy or is that more of the publicist's side?
There's a gray line between the two. So I would say it falls in the gray line. So you're going to find people on the publicity side who do that, and you're going to find people on the marketing side who do that. So one tip I have would be to look in both. And if you're looking for podcasts in particular, just type in podcast as a keyword on the marketplace. And so we're going to search through all the profiles and return those who mention that in their description. Same thing for influencers. Type in influencer and you're going to find people who do influencer marketing campaigns. I would say again that, and this is not in my best interest as a co-founder of Ritzy, but if you're looking to get booked onto podcasts, or if you're looking to collaborate with influencers or get them to promote your book, I would really recommend doing that work yourself, because I don't think that having someone reaching out to those people on your behalf is necessarily more effective. Unless they have really strong relationships already, which very few publicists and marketers do at this point. The only thing they're going to do is like put a list together, email those people, and they're probably going to have the same success as if you did it. So if you really don't have time and you need someone to do it for you, that works. But I don't think it's going to necessarily increase your chances. And I also think for influencers or podcasters, it probably makes more sense to hear from the author directly than from a third-party person you also don't have any prior relationship with. But you tell me.
I completely agree. I get pitched by PR people all the time, and almost never do they do any research or any adaptation to adapt the pitch for my podcast to help me figure out if this person would be a guest on my podcast. And often they don't even bother to find out that my podcast is for marketing books. So I get pitched marketing gurus all the time for like B2B marketing and marketing agencies and stuff that's completely irrelevant. And these are by publicists. And I finally put together a course, how to get booked as a podcast guest, where that process you're talking about of identifying what podcasts to reach out to, what to say. I walk authors through exactly how to do every single one of those steps. And actually I had an author who went through this program. She had a PR firm that her publisher had spent $10,000 for, and she booked more podcast interviews using the how to get booked as a podcast guest method than her PR firm did. And I've also had authors who will go through this program and have like a virtual assistant follow that method to reach out, and they'll have about the same results the virtual assistant will. But that's way cheaper than hiring a publicist. And that's not something that you offer. You don't connect authors with virtual assistants. So if you're looking for a virtual assistant, our job board at authormedia.social has a lot of fellow authors who are in the novel marketing community. They're going through my courses and they're looking for some work on the side, and they are happy to work with you. And the difference between me and Ricardo and why I don't see authormedia.social's job board and Readsy as in competition is that I don't guarantee anything and I don't charge anything, right? So Ricardo's got this expensive satisfaction guaranteed. We're going to, you know, be a mediator if there's a dispute. My approach is you're an adult and it's a free country and you have to do your own due diligence. So I'm not promising any kind of quality, but I'm also not charging anything to anybody. It's not a revenue source for me. But yes, you can get booked with your own podcast and blog interviews on your own for a fraction of the price doing it yourself, or even hiring a VA, than to spend $10,000 with a PR firm that really cut their teeth on traditional media and they don't really understand podcasting. They don't know how to tell a popular podcast from an unpopular podcast. My podcast host directory is often better than what they have access to. And if you're a patron, you already have access to that. So I'd love if somebody created an inexpensive, you know, hire us for $50 a month and we'll get you booked on podcasts. But I haven't seen that product yet.
No, I doubt it'll exist at any point.
There's no money in it. There's no money in it.
No.
What advice do you have for someone who is thinking about independently publishing? And they had been planning to traditionally publish because they were afraid that the quality would be lower with independent publishing. And listening to our conversation and hearing how there's platforms like Readsy that connect them with quality, and they're thinking about publishing independently now, what advice would you have for that person?
I would say that quality is definitely not going to be an issue or something you need to worry about, because the same people who used to work at big traditional publishers are now available to hire directly, whether it's through Readsy or through other means. You can find them out there. And the other worry usually with independent publishing is, what if I release my book out there and it doesn't sell? And I think that's a legitimate worry. It's definitely something that can happen. I don't think it's a much different worry than if you were to publish your book traditionally. There are most traditionally published books don't sell a ton of copies when they get out there. I think even the vast majority of them probably don't sell more than 500 or 1,000 copies. So that can definitely happen.
Well, we had an interview with Jane Friedman last month, and she was talking about the PRH, Penguin Random House, Department of Justice trial. And I think it was 16% of traditionally published books don't sell over a dozen copies. So being traditionally published is not a guarantee of success. And so there's some court on the record, under oath evidence backing up what you just said. Now, to be fair, the most successful authors in the world are traditionally published. So, you know, there are traditionally published authors selling millions of copies, but it's not a guarantee. It's a risk either way.
Exactly. You will have to learn a lot about publishing in general. I think for both routes, but in particular for indie publishing, you'll have to learn about editing, you'll have to learn about design, you'll have to learn about publishing, you'll have to learn about marketing. And that may sound very tedious at first, but if you think that you can enjoy that, then I would definitely recommend that you go for it. Most authors I know who do well are indie published. Obviously, I'm in the indie publishing scene, but I think it's very rewarding to have that control over all the decisions, not only for financial purposes, but also for creative purposes. There's been a lot of stories out there of, you know, a publisher slapping a cover on your title that you really don't think belongs there, or branding your book in a way or describing it in a way that you don't feel comfortable. They hold all the power over the design, editing, marketing decisions at the end of the day. So if you don't feel comfortable with that, then I would definitely recommend indie publishing.
And if you're tempted to do hybrid publishing and you're about to spend $10,000, $20,000 with a company that will quote unquote make it easy, I really, really recommend that you consider a company like Readzy instead. You'll get much higher quality and at a lower price. So it's a really better approach. And if you're planning to become a professional indie and you're already planning to do indie, and you're not sure if spending the money for something like Readzy is a good idea or if you really need it, you don't need it. There's a lot of authors who are able to find the professionals on their own. We have the job board. But I will say, trying them out and doing a short story through a platform like Readzy, where you're working with the professionals that you can find through this kind of platform, will be itself a great education. Because a mistake that I think every author should avoid is, if this is your first book, you should not work with freelancers for which it is also their first book. So when you're an established author, especially if you're rapid writing, right, you're putting out two or three or four books a year, and you want to start saving money by working with some folks who are just getting started, you know exactly what you want, you can help those professionals on board. I've interviewed indie authors who are doing that, and it's great because they're able to save some money and help somebody develop a profession that they didn't have before, but they didn't do it until they'd already published a dozen books. If it's your first book, if it's your second book, you really owe it to yourself to surround yourself with professionals who know what they're doing. Because even in the kind of back and forth chit chat, as you're getting information and providing edits, you will be learning by surrounding yourself with smart people. You will be learning. And Readzy is a great platform for helping you do that. I encourage you to check out Readzy. We'll have a link to it in the show notes of this episode of Novel Marketing. And Ricardo Fayette, thank you so much for joining us on the Novel Marketing Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'd like to thank our new February patrons, the Christian Indie Writers Podcast, Celia Crinrock, Kaylee, Mark Landon Jarvis, Sheena Ager, Lori Milton, Joy, Rebecca, Gary Brumbelow, Sherry, Sophia Hatz, and Kelly. Thank you so much for your support helping keep the Novel Marketing Podcast on the air. We could not do this without your help. Our guest today is Ricardo Fayette. Our producer is Lloyd Christine. Audio engineering is by William Umstadt, and the blog post is by Shauna Lettler. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr. saying thank you for listening, and live long and prosper.